Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Deadwood residents Scott and Tony Burns began their Love in America series looking for, well, love stories. Now the series, which you can see at loveinamerica.us, features the motorcycle riding storytellers reuniting America by sharing her profound, funny, memorable, and historic love stories. Scott and Tony Burns are the hosts of Love in America, and they recently completed their 2019 journey, so new episodes are on the way. We're looking forward to hearing some of those stories today on In the Moment. Tony and Scott Burns join us from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Rapid City space. Welcome. Hi, Tony.
Hi. That was a fabulous introduction.
That was awesome.
I think we found a new partner here.
And, you know, I was going to start out by saying you have a lot of fun. And, Tony, one of the things I love is that laugh. And I'm just so glad you jumped right in with it there.
Well, we did that as a sound check for the engineer. When we're mixing our own show, I always know the sine wave to look for on her laughs, and I start with the editing there.
Yeah, right. You could read that sound wave and know exactly who's in the room, can't you? Not many people know how to read a sound wave, but those who do will appreciate that inside joke.
You know, we as storytellers, we're always, you know, we jump off to the asides, and one aside with that is we worked Renaissance festivals together for years, many years ago, and on a 14-acre site, I could always find her if I just stopped and listened.
And listen to see, hear my laugh. It's, oh, there she is.
Okay, now he's saying that, but really, I think he probably gets out of bed in the morning trying to figure out ways to make you laugh, because there's a video that I watched where he's just typing in the hotel room and his chair is super short and he starts singing a song from Wizard of Oz as if he's a munchkin, and you just bust out laughing, and then I just, everybody go online and see it, because the look he gives you, Tony, is like, if your fella doesn't look at you like that, is he your fella? Because he loves you.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of love between the two of you.
Talk a little bit
about your relationship and how much you love each other, and then you go looking, you bring that love into the way you see the world. Talk a little bit about that first,
like
please.
That.
Tag, you're it.
Oh,
yeah.
Me? You know, and we have an unusual, and at least we've discovered it's kind of unusual in this day and age, is we've been married 30...
Almost 40 years.
Almost 40 years.
We met in junior high.
Yeah, we met in junior high. We started dating in high school, and then we got married 2 years out of high school. So that's really kind of unusual, because when we grew together. Obviously, one of the core foundations of our relationship is humor.
Yes.
But we got really lucky, because we, and it's luck and it's a lot of work. I mean, it's what did that one gal say? It's the hardest job you'll ever love, mm-hmm. is being in love, and having a relationship. So, but we've discovered on the road that that's not always the most common. We're finding a lot more where sometimes people have to have that second and third.
Most of the people we've talked to, and hundreds of people we've talked to across the United States,
thousands,
they're happily ever after. They usually need a running start.
it takes
two or three or four times. And we've been kind of an anomaly. We call ourselves the others everywhere we go,
because
we're always in places we shouldn't be. And, you know, we were in the music business together in Colorado. It was a parallel career to my teaching for many years. Mm-hmm. We worked, as I said, Renaissance festivals. We've always been involved in circles where long-time monogamous relationships were kind of an anomaly.
We were the other.
Uh-huh.
You found each other, and you became the other.
And we became the other.
We found each other, and now we're looking for everybody else.
And what, when you look for love stories, you define love in the broadest, most wonderful terms. What kind of stories are you looking for in love and devotion? It's not just about relationships of people who found each other and formed this wonderful monogamous relationship. It's broader than that.
Right. And there are some of those as well.
Yeah.
But I like what you said. We try not to define it. Drives people crazy when we start asking that question or answer this question, love is, because it's different for everyone else, even though the concept of love is universal.
Mm-hmm. And we've come to refer to it as the loves of place, purpose, and one another. Because when we started, you know, our first journey was in 2015. And when we started, we were, like most love stories, it started in romance.
Yes.
And we were looking primarily for couple stories.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of romantic stories, a lot of really tough stories discovered across the U.S. But as time went by, and especially after 2016, we discovered there's this profound loneliness, longing across America. People in different cultures, and we try to explore as many diverse cultures and peoples and backgrounds as possible. People across the United States are longing for love. They're not quite sure how to define it, which we have some funny stories for, too. But they recognize its value in bringing us back together.
Yeah.
And so we've expanded those couple stories into loves of, you know, people's loves for their art, for their communities, for each other, for the things they do, for their heritage. Mm-hmm. And it's made us, I think, understand love on a much deeper level as well.
Yeah. We want to be in love with life, with America. Yes. With each other, with ourselves.
Yep, and that's part of what we try to do with our stories is give people a place to start talking to each other. Yeah. We've become a nation fairly recently, and I think we always have been, but it just seems like it's been much worse, where we've become so polarized, we don't start with what we have in common. We start with the division. And if we start with what we have in common, there was a, I keep thinking of the Kentuckians, the choral group, which is a whole bunch of barbershop quartet guys.
Yeah, picture a barbershop quartet college.
Yeah, awesome guys. Oh, my gosh. And, they're amazing.
Lexington, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And their love is the heritage of that uniquely American musical form.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that they'd said, because, of course, we try to expand beyond just the, you know, what do you love?
What's the secret?
What's the secret? And one of the things that we had asked them was, because there's so many divergent people within this chorale, this choral? Chorale, it makes it sound like we put them in a
within
great
these
big
folks.
Put them in a big fence and brand them.
That'd be fun.
But they said when you first come in, you're not allowed to talk about anything except the music. It's an unspoken rule, and you talk about the different parts and how everybody's working together and what's the best part for you and the best part for this guy. And so that's what you talk about. He goes, that's all you do for the first several months. He goes, well, then you become friends with these people, and then you go over to their house and you start barbecuing and talking about other things like politics and religion. And and he said, and you may find that the person that you thought was one of your bestest friends has a completely radically different idea of the world and life than you do. And what he said is, well, at that point, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late.
Because you're friends.
Oh, I already like you. Yeah. Now what do I do?
Exactly. Now we've got to find a common ground. And although they already have one. But once you start there, you can start dealing with the more difficult questions if you've already got a common ground from which to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we had, one other aside, because that's what we do.
We do a lot of asides.
You know, having that place to begin has been such a profound point for people to begin these conversations again. There was a woman we talked to in Denver who had known, she was a member of a professional organization, and she had known another woman for decades. They'd worked together. Mm-hmm. And she had just found out in a phone conversation that this other woman that had been her partner in academics and business for years was an opposing political supporter. And her first reaction wasn't, oh, I hate her now. I'm going to unfriend her.
She's so stupid.
The first thing she said to us, and I said, well, how did you react to that? And she says, I got to talk to her because I don't understand. Yeah. I thought, that's profound. Mm-hmm. We need to get back to that point of, I need to talk to you because I don't understand.
Don't understand, and I want to listen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People can find everything at loveinamerica.us and get started there. Tell me, though, as you travel across the country, and you as a story collector, you carry those stories with you. They have to change you in some ways. There has to be some kind of transfer happening. How have these stories changed who you are as humans?
Oh, wow. I'm going to let you start that one because it has profoundly, more than anything for me, it's changed how I approach situations. Because we go into so many situations where we don't belong. And there's so many, it's changed, how do I phrase this? it's helped me because we all have assumptions. We all have ideas of what something's going to be before we get there. It has helped me pull those back and say, okay, I'm not going to walk into this thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to walk into this with my heart and my hands open going, I have no idea what I'm going to get. I am ignorant. Talk to me. Mm. And it's go ahead.
I'm going to have to say mine is involves two different asides, two different stories.
You've got one minute, Scott.
Oh, one minute.
Well, okay. Well, I'll skip to the second one then. When we interviewed Greg Greycloud last summer on the Rosebud Reservation, and he has an organization called Weecha Ogli, and they're trying to reteach, Greg is trying to reteach Native men on the reservation that have been court remanded for domestic violence, how to love and have empathy again by pairing them with abused horses, which is a profound love story. Mm-hmm. But one of the questions we've asked people around the United States is, and a most common question is, what is love? Can you define it? We all want it. We all search for it. But what is it exactly? And when we talked to Greg, we found out that in Lakota, there is no single word that means love. Because most people around the United States, they say it means this, it means togetherness, it means acceptance, it means forgiveness, it means hope, which is one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. Gray, in Lakota, there's no single word that means love. There are words that describe the longing to make someone part of your family, a responsibility for others. The acts of love are described, but no single word. And to me, it both taught me how to understand or how to appreciate the fact that people have so many different definitions of love. And yet when Greg described all these manifestations of it, how common they were across cultures in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you will come back and talk to us more. You need to be recurring guests on In the Moment.
We're game.
Scott and Tony Burns, do yourself a favor. Go to loveinamerica.us and check them out some more. They'll be back. I know we can convince them to come back and tell more of those stories. Scott and Tony, thanks so much.
Thank
you. You're welcome.